And in harmony with the singing of our opening hymn, Brother Dan Trina has selected as his subject a topic that suggests a progression. His title is From Love to Life. From Love to Life. Brother Dan.
Thank you, Brother Joe, and dear brethren. There's a bond or connection between love and life. This connection is powerful. Within each one of us, there is a complex need or force to sustain life. We have an inner feeling to reach out and touch and connect with others. This natural need is developed at birth. As infants, we require two very important things for healthy growth: food for physical growth and nourishment, and a need to be held and cradled for the development of mental growth and security. Scientific research in the area of bonding with baby to parent has proven that if there is no contact with the child, he will eventually die. As babes in Christ, we also need nourishment, God's Word, and to be cradled by God's loving hand. If either of these two are missing in the life of the developing new creature, he may never attain to immortality. During our childhood years, we received instruction and training in obedience, respect, kindness, trust, and love. Proverbs 22:6, we read, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Throughout our consecrated walk, we receive instructions and training in similar areas: obedience, and this would be to God's Word; respect, kindness, trust, and God's leadings; and above all, love. Love for our family, our neighbors, our friends, love for enemies, and love for the brethren, the agape love. As we study the scriptures, we notice that love is a predominant theme throughout. We discover that within love, a wonderful process occurs. There's a concept that love is a force that is built into the structure of life. We also discover the importance of love in life itself, and that unless we love, we will perish. In 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And verse 15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. This process of developing love in God's creatures comes down to a heart condition. In 2 Corinthians 3:2-3, we are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. We realize that the heart is the main interest of the divine mind. In Proverbs 4:23, we read, "Keep thy heart, with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The New American Standard renders that part of the text as, from it flow the springs of life. The heart is one of the most important organs of our body. The heart must keep pumping the life-giving blood. If the blood stops flowing, a clot can form, and this is a time when death can occur. There must be a continual stream of blood circulating through our bodies to sustain life. In view of this important function of our natural hearts, the Bible very properly uses the heart, the center of life, as a symbol of the center of our affections. The new creature is to be godlike, eventually perfect. Before we can attain perfection, the heart of the new creature is required to prove its loyalty. The apostle in 2 Corinthians indicates that there is much work to be done. And in connection with this text, we ask, what is this message? What is being written? Is it chronology? Is it types and shadows? What about unveiling of deeper meanings of hard-to-understand scriptures? Is it a knowledge of history about the world, the church, the Jews? Is it a thorough understanding of the covenants, past, present, and future? We may have all this knowledge in our mind, but we may not have this epistle of Christ written on the tables of our hearts. The head knowledge is important, but more important is the application of this knowledge upon our hearts. It is the change that takes place in us so that others can see that we have been with Jesus and have learned of Him. Now, I'm not minimizing doctrine, because it is this message that has come down through the ages, through the seventh messenger. And even today, in the harvest of this gospel age, we are still being enlightened more and more. It is this understanding that is now being written without ink on the tables of our hearts. Paul brings out in 1 Corinthians 13, 1-8, and verse 13, the importance of love over the gifts. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but do not love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. Love never fails. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. If we could take the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians and project it as a beam of light through a glass prism, of course this would be a special spiritual prism, we could break this beam of spiritual light into its many components. We would then have 14 separate rays of light, or rays of love, coming out. We won't have enough time to expand on all 14 components. We'll just touch on a few. Love is patient. This is forbearance, to hold back or to refrain as the holding back of harsh words to someone in the time of a provocation. This would be love in action. Romans 5:3-4. Let's start with verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. James 5:10. Take the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, afflictions, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Love is kind. This would be a disposition of being gentle, being good, not inflicting pain such as mental or physical abuse. Love is always kind and cannot willfully injure another. Love keeps no records or wrongs. In Romans 4:8, we read, blessed is the man whose I'm sure I have the wrong verse here. Romans 4:8. Blessed is a man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Actually, it's verse 7 and 8. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. God looks at us as reckoned perfect by the covering of Christ's robe of righteousness. Since we are seeking to be godlike, we should leave past problems in the past. When we bring up past history, we are just causing more headaches. In 1 John 4:7-8, we read, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is begotten of God and knows God. 8th verse, the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Here John is speaking of many things. The most important thing he is saying is that God lives in such a way that His love is a living force. When we have contact or union with God, we are connected with Him. It is then that this living force comes in to vitalize us. It is this force that picks us up and puts us on the road to eternal life. Brethren, are we working towards eternal life? Are we searching for eternal life? Do we really know what we are striving for? Paul tells us in Philippians 3:13-14, Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This mark is the attaining of perfect love. God's answer to eternal life is, follow me. Love like God loves. The more we love like God, the more we will be like Him. There are four characteristics that define God's love. One, God loves first. God always loves first. God knows everything about us and acts first. He gives us what we need even before we ask. In Matthew 6 and verse 8, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. Do we try to love first? Do we know our brethren well enough so that we can act first? Do we know what they are in need of? These are pressing questions that each one of us must ask ourselves. Acting first can be as simple as giving a brother a ride to a meeting room, getting together on a Sunday afternoon. Or acting first can involve knowing one well enough to reach out to hold their hand for comfort and reassurance. Two, God loves without reward. Do we expect a return favor if we do something for a neighbor, or a friend, or a brother? Anything we do for someone should be done out of the goodness or love that's in our hearts. God freely gives, and so should we. The third aspect is God loves those who hate. God so loved the world, and just think of the millions who blame God for everything that goes wrong in their lives. God gave His most precious creation, His only begotten Son. We too must also love those who do wrong unto us. Four, God loves by giving. Love is giving. God gave His only begotten Son. God gave us the plan of the ages. He gave us the Holy Spirit. God is always giving. What do we give? Every time we reach out to someone in need, we are giving or sacrificing part of ourselves. Every time we say, I love you, we are giving or sacrificing part of ourselves. It's a commitment. Could the doing of God's will be the sacrifice of love? Romans 13:8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. And verse 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. We have our elder brother as our perfect example. And in John 15:9, Jesus said, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. In verse 12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Verse 17, these things I command you, that you love one another. Jesus gave His life in love for the world. for you, for me. Can we do the same? Brethren, there's a great work to be done. It's the work of reconciliation. The bringing of the millions of humanity back to God. But first, there is the work of reconciling us to God. This is the why He called you and me, and the why He wants you and me. There is a role that we're going to play in this great plan. God wants us to fit into this role so that we can teach others how to love and how to live. This is why we are attaining for this fourth quarter mark now. Our lessons are now ahead of the world. Do you know how to love? Can you teach others? If we don't know how to love or how to teach, will God use us in the kingdom? In the very near future, walking by faith will change to seeing by sight. Things hoped for will change to a reality. But love will continue through the ages of eternity. God asks us to be perfect in love. Colossians 3:14, Paul says, And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. May the Lord add His blessing.